Father Hardin, a member of the Society of Jesus, is professor of systematic theology at the Bellarmine School of Theology, Loyola University, Chicago, Illinois. He is author of many books and articles published in the United States, Canada, and Europe. His latest book is Christianity in the 20th Century. Father Hardin is a lecturer and consultant to various national, religious, and educational enterprises. He is renowned as a retreat master and spiritual director. Father Hardin.
Salvation as the objective of religious education. And the next lecture, what must Catholics believe today? Salvation as the objective of religious education. It must seem evident to anyone familiar with what is happening to religious education in society like those of the Western world that the objective of this education has become overladen with theory. As a result, not a few parents and teachers are unclear as to what the teaching of religious is all about. Why engage in religious education? What is its goal? Or more simply, where is it supposed to be directed? To cut through a mountain of theoretical debris, let me state in one word that the objective of Christian, and therefore Catholic, religious education is salvation, nothing less. Yet we know that a word like salvation is anything but clear to the average Christian, not excluding the Christian educator. This term has become embroiled in the revolution taking place in Christian civilization. Consequently, in order to better understand this revolution and take stock of the challenges it raises for all of us, and in the process to clarify the specific function of religious education, I propose to cover the topic on three levels, each in response to a question. First, why raise the question of salvation as still relevant for religious education today? Then, what is the answer to the question? And thirdly, how does the answer affect our attitude towards religious pedagogy, whether as parents, priests, or teachers? Why raise the question? I don't think it is hard to see how significant for modern times is a word like salvation applied to education. The reason is that salvation, in the biblical sense of deliverance from sin by the redemptive death of Christ, has lost much of its meaning. The meaning has been lost for many people because the faith, which alone invests the word with significance, has weakened, waned, and for not a few, has simply died. I think a fair example of this phenomenon is the slim paperback, Honest to God, published in 1963 by the Anglican Bishop of Woolwich, John A.T. Robinson. A century from now, Robinson's short confession of unbelief will be read as the witness of millions in our day who still call themselves Christians, but who no longer believed in the cardinal mysteries of Christianity. Within a few hours of publication, the first printing of Honest to God was sold out. In 1 year, 500,000 copies were printed, and 10 translations in all the major languages of Europe and America were on the market. The nearest parallel in printing history was Ernest Renan's Life of Jesus, exactly 100 years before 1863, in which the French ex-seminarian repudiated every element of the supernatural in the life of Christ. One difference between Renan and Robinson was that the Anglican prelate suddenly became the idol of the communications media. Robinson campaigned against the heart of the New Testament and with particular vehemence against the myth of salvific redemption. I consider the passage so basic to our present theme that I will quote it in full. The doctrine of the atonement is not, as in the supernaturalist way of thinking, a highly mythological and often rather dubious transaction between two parties, God on the one hand and man on the other, who have to be brought together, and which goes on to explain in Anselm's words why God became man. But even when it is Christian in content, the whole schema of a supernatural being coming down from heaven to save mankind from sin is frankly unintelligible to man, quotes, come of age, who no longer believes in such a deus ex machina. Yet church people continue to explain the atonement in such terms as this, picturing the interplay of two personified parties, the relationship between God and man has been broken by original sin. Man could not pull himself up by his own shoestrings, and thus the only hope of restoration was from God's side. Yet it was from our side that things had to be put right. It appeared hopeless, but God found the answer. For in Christ, He Himself became man, and as man reconciled us to himself. Unquote. Robinson. The Bishop of Woolwich was not playing with words. He was not setting up a straw man to later knock him down. He consciously restated the historic dogma of the redemptive incarnation in plain words to make sure he was not misunderstood. It was not theology that he wished to revise. For the sake of some more simple expression of doctrine, it was the faith of Christianity. When he called this faith a myth that should be thrown out, he meant it. We return to our question of why raise the question of relevance of salvation when speaking of education. The question must be raised because the concept is no longer viable for millions of nominal Christians. In the past century, the empirical world of space and time has revealed such secrets of its being and released so many laws of activity as man had never dreamed possible, let alone have come to enjoy across the whole gamut of human experience, and see the promise of still greater enjoyment in the years to come. Today's vocabulary is therefore studded with words that suggest the dramatic change in outlook. Look up your dictionaries. Synonyms for real are tangible, actual, visible, factual, known, and provably knowable, not supposed or hoped for, not imagined or expected, the existing and now experienced in flesh and bone. The unreal is just the opposite. Words like spiritual and supernatural, creedal or mystical, doctrinal and metaphysical, are practically synonymous in current Western literature with the illusory and the non-existent. Sigmund Freud was speaking for the age when in 1927 he wrote The Future of an Illusion. Religious ideas, he concluded after a lifetime of clinical practice, are born of the need to make tolerable man's helplessness in his environment and are conceived in man's memories of his own childhood and the childhood of the human race. But as persons grow up and societies mature like our own, they shed the illusions of childhood. Along with Santa Claus, they no longer believe in life after death. If they had been Christian, they discard, among other fancies, the notion of a God who literally became man in order to save man from the folly of his sins and save him for an eternity of heavenly bliss. Our second reflection, the answer to the question, we ask, Is salvation a meaningful term to describe the objective of religious education today? Before answering the question, we should carefully distinguish two possible and quite different meanings of the word meaningful. Salvation can be called meaningful either subjectively or psychologically on the one hand, or it can be called meaningful objectively and ontologically on the other hand. In the first sense, salvation would respond to the query, is it intelligible? Is it acceptable? In the second sense, salvation responds to the inquiry, is it true? Is it good? Let me take each in sequence and look at what we are studying from various angles, as I have been doing to keep some semblance of intelligibility in what is necessarily a complex subject. I will give the subtitles under the larger title, namely the answer to the question. Salvation considered subjectively and psychologically. The question, is salvation subjectively meaningful, may be restated, is salvation intelligible to modern man? There is no ready answer, except to say that for a multitude of still professed Christians, and sadly, not a few Catholic teachers, the term is becoming less and less intelligible. It has become covered with so much academic jargon that the Pauline clarity of the concept seems almost naive to some doctorates of Christian theology. And if anything, needs to be shored up with reference to raising the standard of living or solving the problems of ecology to make sense in our age of nuclear physics and the electronics media. Is salvation psychologically meaningful? May also be reworded to ask, is it acceptable today? The acceptability of anything depends on its intelligibility. If salvation from sin and salvation for eternal life has become, for millions, a conundrum, it can hardly appeal to those whose minds no longer conceive its worth. You cannot desire what you do not appreciate. And for a growing number of even affiliated churchgoers, salvation as historic Christianity understands it has lost its power of attraction because they no longer recognize its value. Salvation seen objectively and ontologically. To remain consistent with our approach, we may again rephrase the question, is salvation objectively meaningful, by asking, is it true? We then open a Pandora's box of issues affecting every facet of theology and exegesis, and in fact, the most primary postulates of epistemology. But that is precisely what is irrelevant. I mean it. In the context in which I am speaking, it is irrelevant to go into all the learned sciences of systematic theology and biblical criticism and all the vagaries of what I've come to call psychophilosophy. Objectively, for the man or woman of faith, salvation of the human race through the blood of Christ is true. He sees it is true by that vision which is called the evidence of things unseen. He does not depend on any construct of human genius to tell him it is true. Conversely, in the absence of such faith, the sciences of history and theology or of logic and criteriology will not help. They are useful auxiliaries only if they support his faith vision, deepen his faith conviction, and strengthen his faith commitment. They are certainly not the avenues that lead him to discover revealed truth and may be a positive hindrance if used contrary to the purpose which the great believing minds of Christian history intended the religious sciences to serve. So too, when we inquire whether salvation is ontologically meaningful, we are really asking if it is good. In other words, is the salvation by Christ, which faith teaches is true, not merely valid, but also valuable? Is it something to be acquired and, when received, profitable to the one who acquires it? At this point, we touch on the essence of Catholic education when we ask these questions. All the educational endeavor of the centuries, from St. Paul to the present day, postulates that salvation not only took place when Christ redeemed the world, but is taking place as the redemption is appropriated by those who believe. But though it took place, it cannot be appropriated unless one believes. how the answer affects religious education. So far we have been, I hope, not too drearily engaging in analysis. Though valuable, it is not the main thing I wish to share with you today. These lectures, as I see it, are to be practical and not merely theoretical. They should affect our understanding of religious pedagogy, but should also improve our educational enterprise. In order to draw such practical fruit from the reflections so far made, let me take four words implied in the preceding analysis and see how they bear on religious education for the future. Those words derive from the basic idea we have been discussing all along, namely, is salvation meaningful? The words are intelligibility, acceptability, validity, and benefit. Each corresponds, as it appears, to the quadrat we had analyzed theologically. Always keep in mind the focus of our attention is on the concept of salvation, which, I repeat, is the object. That's the direction towards which all authentic Christian education should go. Our purpose then is to explore briefly, in terms of these four words, something of the pragmatic teaching side to suggest ways of improvement. Let me prefix each reflection with the corresponding topical word. Intelligibility. We said before that salvation as identified in the scriptures is decreasingly intelligible to modern man. So it is. But let us not confuse personalities. It is no great surprise that God's revelation is a stumbling block to the natural man, or is being rejected as infantilism by the wise men of this world. Christ and St. Paul anticipated as much, and 19 centuries of Christian history witness to the same continuing phenomenon.
This conference is continued on Side B.